You're listening to the CyberWire Network, powered by N2K.
And now, a word from our sponsor, SixthSense. SixthSense provides award-winning cloud-based automated endpoint and vulnerability management solutions to streamline IT and security operations. With its advanced platform, businesses gain complete visibility and control over their infrastructure, reducing IT and security risks and optimizing operational efficiency. With SixthSense, you'll get real-time alerts, risk-based vulnerability prioritization and remediations, and an intuitive automation and orchestration engine so you can focus on your core business goals, confident in the knowledge that your enterprise is secure, compliant, and running smoothly. To learn why enterprises choose SixthSense, visit SixthSense.com. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the CyberWire's Research Saturday. I'm Dave Bittner, and this is our weekly conversation with researchers and analysts tracking down threats and vulnerabilities, solving some of the hard problems of protecting ourselves in a rapidly evolving cyberspace. Thanks for joining us.
We started looking at Private Loader back in August timeframe, 2021. We actually coined the name based on a text string we found in one of the first binaries the team was ripping apart that contained the word private loader in one of the file directory paths.
That's Michael DeBolt. He's Chief Intelligence Officer at Intel 471. The research we're discussing today is titled Private Loader, the first step in many malware schemes. The IT world used to be simpler. You only had to secure and manage environments that you controlled. Then came new technologies and new ways to work. Now, employees, apps, and networks are everywhere. This means poor visibility, security gaps, and added risk. That's why Cloudflare created the first-ever connectivity cloud. Visit cloudflare.com to protect your business everywhere you do business.
And since then, we've really just been tracking the evolution of the loader itself and the unidentified PPI service, which is a pay-per-install service that is connected to this private loader piece of malware. So the diversification of the different kind of malware that this thing is deploying and just the geographic spread of where we're seeing these victims has been quite something to track over the past few months.
Can you help us understand what we're talking about when we say pay-per-install malware services? What exactly does that represent?
Yeah, so let's take a step back. Private Loader is a type of loader malware. Sometimes we call this a dropper malware. And its primary purpose is to install other malware payloads onto victim machines. So those other malware payloads could be anything from remote backdoors to banking trojans, information stealers. We've even seen ransomware at times. So this private loader malware is connected to a pay-per-install service, which we've actually, interestingly enough, haven't been able to connect the private loader malware to a known service in the underground. We can touch on that if you want. But PPI services have been around for a very, very long time. They're typically advertised in underground forums, and they offer the convenience of outsourcing the distribution of malware in a very reliable and affordable way. So operators behind PPI services, they basically earn money by accumulating infected hosts, and we call those installs, and spreading malware samples supplied by paying clients. So clients can come in, they typically, you know, they select which installs they want based on the number of installs, based on geographic location and a number of other variables. And like other enabling services that we see, like bulletproof hosting, for instance, PPI services are really important for the cybercrime ecosystem, because if you think about it, over the years, us as security professionals, we've kind of made things increasingly harder and more difficult for malware operators to actually get their malware onto victims' machines. So these dedicated services, they offer a great way for actors to offload this burden so they can focus their time and energy on the actual profits from their payloads, whatever that might be.
Right. Now, the folks who are offering up these pay-per-install services, I mean, do they have a collection of systems out there that they've already penetrated and are just waiting for them to pull the trigger and put, you know, your malware on there, you know, today?
They do have an inventory of pre-infected installs that are sort of ready-made and off the shelf you can get. So the private loader malware is distributed through a network of fake websites that lure unsuspecting visitors to download cracked or pirated software. And the theme of the day for this group in particular is mostly around antivirus programs or privacy tools. So they use websites that have search engine optimization or SEO to appear at the top of the results page whenever users search for words like cracked program or cracked download or something similar. Visitor goes to one of those websites, they click on a download link, the embedded JavaScript makes a few redirects and eventually downloads this private loader payload from one of the backend servers that the operators manage. And that's typically in the form of a password protected zip file. So then it gets onto the victim's machine and the loader malware is either installed by itself or it may come with another payload from, say, a client who paid for that install. Hey, I want to drop also an information stealer or a banking Trojan or even another loader like Smoke Loader, which is actually quite common in this case. And then, like you said, from there, once private loader is installed on the victim's machine, that victim becomes part of, we'll just call it the PPI services inventory. And then the actors can manage it. They log into a web panel, kind of an administration panel where it's basically a portal where clients can log in. They can manage their installs. They can upload their malware to be encrypted and delivered. There's the statistics page. It's actually quite professionalized and quite common to see this in the PPI space.
Do you have any sense for how much churn they have? In other words, you know, they prepare a system to later have something dropped on it. Do we have any idea for how persistent they're able to be, how long they're able to stay on those systems, or are they noisy enough that they're getting detected and kicked out?
Yeah, I don't have any statistics to back any of this up, but I would say this is more of a quantity game than a quality game, if that makes any sense. This is more about accumulating as many installs as possible to give your clients, in this case, malware operators that want to deploy their malware, as many options as possible around the world for them to choose which installs that they want to deploy their malware to at any given time. So it's, you know, I'd say the churn is pretty heavy. I mean, you're talking about, you know, the vast majority of what is deployed through these PPI services are highly commoditized malware. So the blocking and tackling of those particular types of malware is a little bit easier than, say, nation state curated malware, where it becomes a little bit more challenging to identify and block those attacks. So I'd say the churn is a little bit more for PPI services to try to keep up their inventory. But I mean, we're talking about, you know, many, many, many installs at any given time. They can withstand churn, if you will.
I see. One of the things that you all have tracked here in your research are the various malware families that get dropped here. Can you give us a little description of what's going on and what this indicates to you?
It's interesting because on its face, there's nothing really that sets this PPI service apart from other similar services. In fact, most of the activity, and you'll see this in our blog, with the delivery mechanisms and the commodity malware that we're seeing a drop is kind of low to mid-level stuff. But one notable thing that did catch our attention, and we noticed this in our blog as well, is that Private Loader was used to drop some high-level, high-profile malware, including Drydex and TrickBot and a couple others, in a very short time window. So that's interesting. We don't know yet if this indicates any sort of formal partnership between the PPI service provider and those more sophisticated crews. It could be some sort of affiliate arrangement, or it could be that these crews are simply testing this new private loader PPI service as a new delivery mechanism. But it's definitely something to keep an eye on, as it would indicate, early indication, I would say, that this service is operating at a higher echelon of reputation and credibility by working with those more sophisticated malware families.
Now, you also noted that Private Loader embeds a region code in its communications with its C2 server. What does that represent in your estimation?
Sure. It's just another way for these PPI service providers to sort of categorize and offer clients who are coming in to select their installs another factor, another variable to which they can select installs that cater to the different types of malware that they're using. So say, for instance, I'm a malware operator and I want to target banks within a certain region. I'm going to select installs within that region that I know victims are logging into a certain a set of banks within that region that my malware is catered to, say, steal their login credentials, for instance. So it's just another way for PPI services to offer that as another feature within their service that actors can leverage for more targeted geographic attacks.
Do you have anything that indicates any sort of, you know, with any confidence, any attribution of who's behind this?
Yeah, so that's the tricky part, right? Attribution is always the hardest thing to accomplish whenever we're doing cybercrime research. And I always like to say, just as a side note, we don't do attribution for attribution's sake. We want to do attribution to know who the actors are behind whatever the threat is, so that we can establish a pattern of, you know, how are they acting? What are the TTPs that we're likely to see? You know, we've seen with ransomware actors, for instance, them rebranding over and over and over again. Well, if you're chasing the brand names, it's harder to understand the TTPs if you feel like you're starting over from square one each time. Well, in reality, some of these actors are just rebranding. They're the same actors doing the same stuff. They're just rebranding. So that's just kind of a side note around attribution. We do have some, as it relates to this, I mean, we do have some indication of some of the actors that might be involved in developing this private loader malware, and in a sense, also connected with the unknown PPI service. I don't want to go too much into that right now, just because it's kind of based on some sensitive methods that we're using and sources that we have. But I will say that we do, in all likelihood, expect that this PPI service will probably announce itself in the near time within the underground forums that we commonly see announce similar services.
Now, you point out that the most common payload you saw pushed by Private Loader was something called Smoke Loader. Anything noteworthy there?
Yeah, I mean, loader pushing another loader, right? I mean, that's kind of what we're seeing here. You know, we've been tracking Smoke Loader for a long time. It's been on the scene since at least 2011, if I'm not mistaken. You know, it offers another layer of capability for actors who are using perhaps Private Loader for the initial delivery mechanism, but then landing Smoke Loader on an install. And Smoke Loader is very modular. So it has, in addition to its loading capabilities, it also has a number of different functionality that can be added on, password stealing. It could even do DDoS, cryptocurrency mining. So it's very flexible and it can be very persistent. So it's really no surprise to us to see that at the top of the list as the kind of the top malware family that we're seeing pushed through this Private Loader malware.
You know, typically I will, you know, ask my guests what their recommendations are for people to protect themselves against this thing. But I guess it's fair to say, number one is don't download cracked software.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty you know, glaring takeaway here. Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, these are pretty straightforward security operations, you know, tracking commodity malware. You know, the biggest thing is, you know, you want to protect against, this is going to sound real obvious, right? But you want to protect against being a victim of a PPI installation. You don't want to be, you know, you don't want any of your employee workstations to become part of this inventory that sort of bad guys can pick and choose from to deploy whatever malware they want to.
Right.
You know, it requires regularly monitoring the underground for these new PPI services and the associated, you know, loader malware that's connected to them. You understand their backend infrastructure, the delivery mechanisms, you know, like you said, searching for or installing cracked software, that's a big no-no. So maybe we can use that as, you know, employee awareness and training material, right? To get them to understand the actual ramifications of what they're doing. So
Right. If you find yourself at the point where you feel like you need to buy cracked antivirus software, please speak to the security team and we will do our best to get that funded for you.
Right? Yeah, exactly. And it's interesting because we're, you know, with the whole COVID pandemic thing over the past 2 or 3 years or whatever it is now, we've seen with the, you know, remote working, you know, everybody, you know, going home and working and bringing your own device and all this stuff. I mean, it's not out of the realm of, you know, increased possibility and probability that you would see employees, well-intentioned employees, trying to, you know, secure their home laptop, right? Yeah. And going out and doing it on their own. So it's definitely something to keep in mind.
Our thanks to Michael DeBolt from Intel 471 for joining us. The research is titled Private Loader, the First Step in Many Malware Schemes. We'll have a link in the show notes. The CyberWire Research Saturday is proudly produced in Maryland out of the startup studios of Data Tribe, where they're co-building the next generation of cybersecurity teams and technologies. Our amazing CyberWire team is Liz Irvin, Elliot Peltzman, Trey Hester, Brandon Karp, Eliana White, Peru Prakash, Justin Sabi, Tim Nodar, Joe Kerrigan, Carol Terrio, Ben Yellen, Nick Vilecki, Gina Johnson, Bennett Moe, Chris Russell, John Petrick, Jennifer Iben, Rick Howard, Peter Kilpie, and I'm Dave Bittner. Thanks for listening. We'll see you back here next week.